Welcome back to The Savvy Psychologist. I'm Dr. Ellen Hendrickson, and every week I'll help you meet life's challenges with evidence-based research, a sympathetic ear, and zero judgment. Admit it, you've sung along, so you know that when the player's gonna play and the hater's gonna hate, you're just supposed to shake, shake, shake it off. But have you ever really tried to do that? It's really, really hard. Whoever made up the old playground adage of sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, was clearly never a target of family gossip, judgy friends, or internet trolls. Now, there is a big difference between constructive criticism and the judgment of haters. Constructive criticism, although negative, by definition, contains ways to help you improve and grow. At its heart, constructive criticism aims to help you and is on your side. So if you're so lucky as to receive constructive criticism, learn all you can from it. But haters are another story. True hate is unconstructive. There's nothing in there for you. Instead, all the benefits go to the hater. Their intention is to hurt and provoke you, usually as a way to feel powerful or in control, or to put on a show to earn the admiration of others at your expense. Now, some of us react to haters by getting mad, while others react by feeling hurt. Either way, it's rough. Even when you've been showered with love and support, one hater can feel like a bucket of ice water thrown squarely in your face. Okay, so this week, by request from listener Melody, who asked what to do when she finds herself invalidated, unsupported, or otherwise hated on, here are 6 tips to deal in the moment, move forward, and yes, to shake it off. Tip number 1, consider the source. Is the hater known to you? Did someone anonymous swoop in, deposit some hate like a bird over a newly washed car, and take off again? If so, like in the case of internet comments or insults shouted from moving vehicles, pay it no mind. In general, if someone won't put their name or face behind their slander, it's best to let it dissipate like a fart in the wind. On the other hand, if the criticism is from someone you know and respect, as Hillary Clinton, an expert at dealing with haters, says, take it seriously, but not personally. So how do you do that? Well, try tip number 2, disarm them with respect. Haters speak in a language of disrespect, so answering with respect and aplomb both confuses them and defuses the situation. They might even apologize. Respect also works because haters are trying to provoke. They want a reaction. They want to sit back and watch the show. So when they don't get what they're expecting, they have to recalibrate. Sometimes they'll just keep on being belligerent, in which case there's no need to engage further. You can't get blood from a stone. But often they'll change tactics and engage with you, turning their insults into the aforementioned constructive criticism or even some love. Now, this also works if you're a business. One study examined the Facebook pages of 237 companies to determine how effectively they dealt with negative comments. And it turns out that experience made all the difference. Businesses newer to social media more often ignored negative posts. But the longer the companies had been active on Facebook, the more likely they were to react positively to customers' negative posts, either by apologizing, giving an explanation, or offering a reimbursement. Another study found that positive reactions to negative comments actually develop stronger customer trust than no response because a positive response signals honesty. So whether you're representing a business or just your own self, try responding to haters with respect and watch how they transform. Tip number 3, ignore it, even if you really want to explain yourself. Okay, so what if respect is a language your hater just doesn't speak? What if you've engaged politely, only to be met with more hate? Then you can ignore them. In politics, there's a saying, if you're explaining, you're losing. Here's why. Haters make you want to defend yourself, but when you do, you legitimize them. If you don't engage, they're left with their venom hanging in the air. But if you do engage, suddenly it's a legitimate conversation. And worse, you're the responder, not the initiator, which means that they're in control. In sum, if they're throwing bombs, don't catch them, because you know what will happen if you do. Okay, that's all great, you say, but let's up the ante. What if you've been rejected by a whole group? What if a committee, review panel, or nine justices in Washington, D.C. rule against you? How to recover from negative feedback from an entire group? Well, that brings us to tip number four. To shake off negative comments of a group, think of the members as all the same. Now, one study out of Williams College and the University of Waterloo asked each participant to pretend they were an aspiring filmmaker whose work had been unanimously rejected by a panel of four judges at a film festival. Then they were asked if it would be easier to dismiss the rejection if the panel members were, quote, all very similar to one another, or if they were, quote, all very different from one another. A full 83% of participants noted it would be easier to dismiss the feedback if it came from a homogeneous group than a diverse group. This made sense. The reason it's easier to shake off feedback from an individual than from a group is because it's harder to dismiss an entire group as wrong or prejudiced than it is one single person. Feedback from multiple perspectives is harder to dismiss as unreliable. Therefore, if you think of the group as homogeneous, thereby transforming them into the equivalent of an individual, it's easier to let it slide off your back. Indeed, anyone who's dismissed a group of haters as a bunch of idiots has done this, albeit on a rudimentary level. Tip number five, hear what's under the hate. Another way to dismiss the hate is to hear what's bubbling beneath it. I guarantee that underneath any non-constructive hate lies insecurity or some variation on that theme. Fear, envy, powerlessness. Secure, confident people might give you constructive criticism, but they just don't deal in hate. Grandma was right. If they're trying to tear you down to build themselves up, there's clearly a reason they feel the need to tear you down. And finally, tip number six. Remember, criticism often means you're doing great things. If you've attracted some attention and some accompanying hate, take it as a sign that you're doing something right. Becoming the target of haters means the world is sitting up and taking notice. Success comes with a side of hate, so don't quit. In fact, do the opposite. Go bigger. Think of haters as a side effect of greatness. To sum up, shaking off the judgment of haters is harder than mega hit pop songs would have you believe. But try out some of the strategies, and you'll find that whatever they say, you'll be the rubber to your haters' glue. Thanks so much for making The Savvy Psychologist a part of your life. Never miss a thing when you sign up for the newsletter at quickanddirtytips.com/newsletters or subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. You can also listen on Spotify, follow the show on Twitter at @QDTSavvyPsych, or like on Facebook, where there are always links to episodes no longer available on Apple Podcasts. I'm Dr. Ellen Hendrickson, and The Savvy Psychologist is strictly for informational purposes and doesn't substitute for mental health care from a licensed professional. Have a wonderful week, and I will see you all next Friday for a happier, healthier mind.